It's sure good to be here tonight and glad for your presence. We're continuing in our study of the life of Christ. The second lesson as it has been divided up in the study we're doing. We're dealing with the birth of Jesus, and we've talked about his birth. We've talked about his presentation in the temple. We've talked about the visit of the wise men. We've talked about his flight to Egypt. And now his return to Jerusalem. And now we're going to take a look at the last portion of the study, in which we jump from Jesus being perhaps just 1 or 2 years old now to the age of 12, and the events in which he and his parents went to Jerusalem to worship God. So it's a fascinating text, something that as I was studying this, you know, things always come to mind perhaps that I hadn't thought about before, and hopefully some things will be beneficial in our service to God. All right, if you open your Bibles into Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be studying the context of verses 41 through 52. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And if I can get someone to read that context for us, Jenny, thank you very much.
Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man.
All right, thank you. So, as we mentioned, we've jumped from just a couple of years, perhaps, in age. Now it mentions in verse 42 that these events took place when he was 12. What took place between, let's say, age 2 and age 12? We don't know, but in terms of, again, he was a child who was growing up. If you look back at verse 40, what were some of the things that were going on during these 10 years in the boy Jesus? If you look at verse 40.
Grew, became strong, increased in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
All right, so he was growing up. He was physically growing up. But also think of it in this respect, and we're going to talk about this as we talk about the events that unfold. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. The Messiah, the Son of God, has now been in the flesh. How long? 12 years. I was trying to do the math in my head as I was driving tonight. How many days is that? 7:30 is 2 years, plus 36, 40. I came up about 4380. About 4380 if it's 12, and we don't know how long into his 12th year. But that's quite a while, isn't it? You remember being 12? 12 years old seemed like a long time, didn't it? From a human perspective. It's been 12 years since Jesus was with who?
His father.
12 years since he's been with his father, his heavenly father. And now we come to this point. Is that, could you imagine being a child in 12 years without your parents? 12 years without your father, with whom you've been with forever? You've been one with him. But you've left his side. Now you're in the form of a bondservant. And you've been in the form of a bondservant now 12 years. A lot of time has gone by. And I can't imagine, perhaps at this point in time, how much he missed being with his father in heaven. But we come to this point in his life. And Jesus and his family, it says in verse 41, says his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Why? Why did they go every year? Right. Well, they went because they were faithful, they were devout, they were God-fearing. They did as God had directed them in the law of Moses. That's what we learned about Mary and Joseph before they had Jesus. That's who they were, that's what they do. They do what, and they did what God had asked them to do. And we often talk about children as they grow up coming to the worship services, to the assembly. And how that I think it's a worthwhile goal that as parents, when you have children, that there's one question they should never ask. If you're godly parents and you're devout and you're faithful to God, what's the one question I'm thinking about that the faithful parents should never hear their kids ask? Are we going? Are we going to worship God? Do you think Jesus, as he was growing up, ever had to wonder whether his father was ever going to go fulfill his duty at the Passover? Ever wondered, Dad, are you going this year? Are you going to attend? Think there was any question in that household as to when the Passover came, what was going to happen. But this is something that always took place. And again, in terms of the practical applications, again, for those who are, have been, and will be parents, will our children be able to know for certain, again, that when there's a time to worship, according to the will of God, that we're always going to be there? No, I think you had your hand up a moment ago. Okay. All right. So, again, devout Jews went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Another interesting thing to think about is, again, Jesus, even though he's 12 years old, does he know what his mission is? His mission is to what? And ultimately, that mission is going to take him where? To the cross. To be the sacrifice for sins. What happens at the Feast of the Passover? What is offered? Animal sacrifices? Jesus, at 12 years old, knowing that he was called upon to be the Lamb of God, to lay down his life, to be the sacrifice that these animal sacrifices couldn't accomplish. Again, just speculation. Do you think there's any thought of Jesus has? He perhaps for the first time now saw the animal sacrifices. And to know that, again, that's why he was there. Because these animal sacrifices, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, could never take away sins. And he knew now that that's why he had to be there.
At that point, two things. One, Jesus is Godhood. So he's a very unusual child in that this is God. But at the same time, he has a human body. So in all points, he was tempted, as we are, just down the human body. So that's quite a
dichotomy. Yeah, it is. It is. And
it's very unique. That's very understated. Very unique situation indeed.
Unique being the only, and indeed, he was the only one who was God in human flesh. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. And again, that's absolutely true. So, again, his parents went to the Passover as they did every year. And again, at age 12, and we talked just briefly about the fact that, again, I think it's a forced conclusion that this was Jesus' first time going to the Passover, because what happened, again, that we're going to talk about in just a minute regarding his trip to the Passover. he went, as Jenny read, he went to where? To the temple, and he conversed and asked questions with the Jewish leadership, and again, what happened with his parents? They left, and did they know that he was there? So again, my point being is that if this had happened before, there wouldn't have been that surprise. And so I believe this is his first time going to the Passover at age 12. And it mentions then in verse 43, and as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. But verse 44, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among the relatives and acquaintances. So there was a larger group of people. It was not just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but there was a larger group, perhaps the extended family. We don't know how large, but it was a larger group, large enough that, again, when it was time after the number of days had been completed, that when they headed back, have you ever been in a large group with other families, with siblings, with aunts and uncles and so forth? You have a large group of people, and there's a lot of cousins, and you're kind of assuming that all the kids are there, and you're not necessarily taking head count all the time. All of us who are parents, could you understand the scene? Can you understand the situation? So they were part of a larger group. Again, Joseph and Mary were supposing that he was, again, somewhere else within the group. But in fact, what we know, what happened is that Jesus stayed behind. And how long had they been gone from Jerusalem again before they noticed?
A day.
Okay, they had been gone a day. And again, it had been a day, and again, those of us who are parents, you've been gone a day, and you're like, I haven't seen my son for a day. I think I better check on him, and began looking among the group, and again, kind of tells you this was not just, you know, a group of five or six. This was a large group, and they began looking for him. And after this day went by, and they looked for him among their relatives and acquaintance. And again, what happened? They didn't find him. Again, as a parent, can you imagine? Donna, can you imagine again going a day and then finding out that your child, whom you supposed was with this large group of friends and family, the Jewish brethren anyway, and they're not there? No, you ever been somewhere where Sadie ran off just a little bit and wasn't where you thought she was? It's a little frightening, isn't it? So again, from a parental point of view, we can understand that, can't we, Bruce? So, verse 44, again, they're looking among their relatives and their acquaintances, and they did not find in verse 45. And again, what we would all do, you're going to begin to backtrack your steps, aren't you? You're going to go back to where you were. Now, Bruce, the question then is, when they went back to Jerusalem, how long did they spend looking for him before they found him? Okay. And there's the 3 days. So now we're up to a total of what? Again, can you imagine?
5 days.
Well, that's true. Good point. It'd be 5 days. Again, could you imagine the panic, the concern, the worry? And all this time, had Mary and Joseph been told, as we know, this is a redundant question, were they told who this child is at birth?
Yes.
But we're not told anything again between his early years and 12. And again, during these years, the things that were no doubt taking place were the things that any parent would deal with a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and so forth. We're not told of any more communication between God and angels and Mary and Joseph. They had been told originally who he is and what his purpose was to be the Savior of the world, to be the Messiah. But as time has gone on, perhaps, again, they, as we read, what did Mary keep doing with some of the things that were told to her? Pondering in her heart. Again, they were kind of filed away, but in terms of, we talked about, you know, we talked about before amongst ourselves, and even regard to God's Word. Again, when you put something in your head, if you haven't touched God's Word for 12 years, again, does it need to be stirred up a little bit? So perhaps were they, you know, conscious and remembering all the time, every day of their lives, everything that was told to them by the angels about who their child was. And they go back to Jerusalem, and they look for him for 3 days. Now, again, before finding him. And what they found, when they finally found him, where was he? He was in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. And what was he doing while he sat among the teachers? Both asking and answering questions. With my, again, the presumption that this is the first time he went with his parents to the Passover. It had been the first time that he went to the temple. The temple was what? The place where? Place of worship. It was his father's
house.
It was his father's house. Again, can you imagine again at age 12, like I said, that so many years have gone by and he's now in Jerusalem and now he sees his father's house. This is the house where people go to worship his heavenly father. This is the house where people go to study what God, his heavenly father, has revealed to mankind. And we have the advantage of reading this and looking back on it. But again, where would Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, where would he be? He would be in his father's house, where people go to worship his father, his heavenly father, where people would go to learn about what his father's will is. Somebody had their hand up. David.
That's very true. I'm looking at it from a very human perspective. If our child had done that, we promise you that a spectrum would tell him, you're grounded for the next 6 months. Oh, and that's what we're worried to death.
We would be, wouldn't we? And again, as I said, you know, from that human perspective, we understand that we've all been there in terms of, again, even for just a moment, if not for 5 days, you know, not knowing where your child is. But again, here they do find him. It took, again, 3 days once they had returned to Jerusalem to find him in the temple. He's listening and asking questions. And again, would this have been a normal circumstance to see a 12-year-old boy in the temple discoursing with the Jewish teachers, the elite at that time, those who were looked up to in terms of the Jewish law, and this 12-year-old boy is at that same, well, not at the same level, but he's asking them questions and talking with them at a level that is not to be expected. And the reaction is what? It's amazing to see a young boy, again 12 years old, conversing with the Jewish leaders, the teachers, at this level. Carolyn?
Pure speculation, but you suppose about 20 years later, some of them got to thinking,
yeah. So your point, again, it was something to be remembered. Bruce?
You know, being there, just asking and answering questions about the world, that asking and answering questions about Scripture.
Yes, it is. Again, yeah, this wasn't, you know, basic lesson. This was the understanding of God's will, of his revelation. Mick?
I was just thinking about how you touched on this a while ago, how that you're in the temple where all these animals are being offered, and I read somewhere that we're looking at numbers of maybe thousands of animals being sacrificed. And to see all of this, knowing that this didn't do the job completely, but knowing what he was going to do, one sacrifice.
I think it would have struck quite an impression again, and not just, I think all the senses, and I read somebody talking about the fact that all those hundreds of thousands of sacrifices that were offered, you would not only see them, you would hear this. I heard somebody talking about the smell of all those sacrifices. And again, the reminder of why you're there. Of what you have been sent to accomplish.
I think to really have a firm grasp on all this, we have to recognize in verse 40, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And then 52 says Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Well, if he was increasing in wisdom, that means there was a point where he didn't have the same wisdom that he had later. I guess what I mean is, you know, we don't know at what point in his childhood he recognized himself as the Son of God. You know, at what point does a baby become conscious of their existence? And so, again, I guess I'm kind of leaning toward what Bruce says. All of his knowledge came from the Scriptures. All of his knowledge came from what his parents had taught him. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, how much he might have missed his father. I don't understand how he could miss it. You know, growing up, did he have the memories at age 5 of having been in heaven before?
Well,
we don't know. That's all speculation.
We don't know, but again, what we're told is from the time of inception, he was the Son of God. He didn't slowly become the Son of God, and he didn't, you know, cross some threshold at some particular age to become the Son of God.
But he grew in wisdom.
Grew in wisdom, and we'll talk more about that. Mickey?
I just want to be careful to come to the conclusion that Jesus didn't understand who he was until this point or somewhere in the history. I've heard some take a position, I certainly not, of course, that the only way that Jesus had an inkling as to who he was based on what his parents had told him, because the angel had appeared to them and told them who Jesus was. That's the only source of information that he had that was direct information. I don't believe that. I think he knew who he was at the time that he came into this world. Now, at what point he began to talk, I don't know. At what point he
There were some physical developments that had to take place, you know, growing up. But in terms of, I believe, as Mickey did, that again, there was an understanding of who he was and that he was the Son of God, again, in the womb. Jenny?
It's also probably worth noting that wisdom and knowledge are not necessarily the same thing. A 12-year-old boy, very possible for him to have all kinds of knowledge and not have a good way of getting that knowledge across to someone. You know, we've all talked to middle school kids, and they've known exactly what it is that the world does, and they've known exactly who they are, and they've known all of
Okay. It's interesting. I was looking this up. The word used for wisdom in verse 40 and in verse 52 is from the Greek word Sophia. Zodiates, is that how you pronounce it, Richard?
Zodiates.
Okay. Says of this word, it means wisdom. And then note this, it means the knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God. Knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about the fact that there's part of what Jesus had to learn. It says, although he was a son, he learned what? He learned obedience. He learned, although he was the Son of God, he learned to obey his Father in heaven. And in terms of learning how to obey, learning how to govern his relationship with God, that's something that he learned. That's something that he grew in. There were, again, because he was tempted in all forms as we are. His obedience was a choice, and he learned and he grew in that ability to make those choices that were right in the sight of God and to then manage his relationship with his Heavenly Father. So that's something, again, that even Jesus had to learn and grow in. And that's something, again, that we have to learn and grow in terms of learning how to grow in our relationship with our Father in heaven. Bruce? Yeah, no doubt he had godly parents, but again, Jesus had to learn and grow in his obedience to the Father as well on his own. Again, his relationship with God was not based on his parents. So again, we talked about the fact that, again, those who were there were amazed. It says in verse 47 that all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, Mary and Joseph then, they find where he is, and they see him in the temple, and they see him sitting with the Jewish teachers, again, answering and asking questions. And when Mary and Joseph find him, in verse 48, what was their reaction? It was, again, it says that they were astonished. Again, our 12-year-old son is sitting here amongst the Jewish leaders, dealing with them, again, you know, in a way that 12-year-olds don't. I mean, again, we're all sometimes amazed at the things that our children do as they grow up. But can you, again, imagine Joseph and Mary seeing Jesus, this 12-year-old boy, again, in the temple, asking, listening, answering questions. Again, they were astonished. Did this reaction to Jesus and his ability to teach and his ability to handle the wisdom of God, this reaction of astonishment, amazement, did that, was this the only time? No, not at all. In fact, throughout his ministry, you read perhaps again in the Sermon on the Mount at the end of Matthew chapter 7, how that when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So again, this reaction of being amazed at Jesus' ability to teach continued on throughout his ministry. In Matthew chapter 13, Beginning in verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there and he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogues, that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They're not asking about his miraculous powers yet, but they are asking about where did this boy get this wisdom and the ability then to discourse with us. Again, Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, and again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? It was not just the wisdom. It's sometimes, and I hope as we go through the study of the life of Christ, I pray that as we meditate upon the things that Jesus taught, will we be astonished also? Will we be amazed and impressed in terms of the wisdom? And as the disciples here in Matthew chapter 19, will we sometimes be amazed and astonished in terms of what Jesus is calling for us to do to follow in His steps? Of what it's going to require of us as disciples of Jesus Christ? Will we, again, in that context of Matthew chapter 19, their astonishment is, that's what's expected of us? That's what it's going to take to be a disciple of yours? They were astonished at what was going to be asked of them. And again, as we go throughout this study, will we also be amazed and astonished at what Jesus taught? Will we be amazed and astonished at what He has asked for us to do as children of God, as those who wear His name? So again, a lot of other instances that are noted up there. Again, just the last one to note, that even the apostles in Acts chapter 13, when they preached the gospel, when the gospel is proclaimed in its boldness and its truth today, should people be amazed at what the gospel teaches men today? And they were in Acts chapter 13 as well. So, any other points real quick in terms of the reaction to his teaching? But let's go back and talk about, again, the parental reaction. I forget who noted, again, was that you, David, that said, if you were a parent today and your child went off on their own somewhere for 5 days at age 12, would you have some words with them? Would there be a discussion? No? Yeah, and again, we have that benefit, don't we, of knowing how it all played out. And as we pointed out, in the 12 years since his birth, again, and the events of at least the first couple of years, would we have been any different than Mary and Joseph? And perhaps not recalling what had been told to us about this child. And certainly if they had, again, stopped and again, gone back and processed, okay, this is the Messiah, He's going to be the Savior of the world, this is the Son of God. Again, it's kind of like watching a mystery movie, you know, through the end. You go, well, of course, I should have seen that. But, no, I think it does make sense. And we'll take a look in just a moment at Jesus' response, because His response to His parents was kind of, again, should they have known? Should they have thought this through and thought, this is the Messiah, it's the Son of God, He's been taken to the temple for the first time, again, where else would He be? But again, all of us, that'd be easy to kind of, as it were, second guess. Diana?
Yeah, I thought it was actually looking for Him and just kind of upset about the
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Yes.
On the other hand, they have, what did you say, 4,300 some days of, you know, Jesus eat your breakfast, Jesus tie your sandals, and just the normal stuff. And it says in verse 51, he continued in subjection to them, which could imply that he was And it may have come as a surprise to them that, you know, this child who's perhaps normally so obedient, suddenly he's nowhere to be found.
No, I can fully relate. And again, as you know, if something regarding, you know, Sarah had been told to us at her birth, and 12 years later, necessarily, you know, the entire time, am I thinking about everything that had been told to me about her when she was born? Jenny?
We should also be considering that most likely Jesus is not an only child by this point. He has at least four brothers and sisters by the time he's an adult. So he probably is not their only child.
True.
And so they are thinking along the lines of what a child would do. Well, we stayed over here, so let's check where we were staying. While we were here, he went and played with some of the local boys, and that's where they went to play. Let's go ask the parents of the other boys and things like that. They're treating him as they would a child because he is their child.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then again, from a parental point of view, we understand that, don't we? David?
Okay, now, the way this reads, I take it that when his parents ask him the question, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I imagine they asked that in front of the people that Jesus was talking to.
I don't know, but... In terms of
seeking him.
Well,
says how why have you treated us this way? I don't know what the original was.
Well, and again, I think it goes go back to, but again, certainly, you know, there is a point in terms of the fact that we're all to be seeking after Jesus. Absolutely. And we'll delve into that just a little bit further. Reba?
But I think it's never adapting. It's just like you say, somebody comes and tells you they want to have a meeting with you about your child, telling you your child is a prodigy. You know what the word prodigy means. It's unusual. He's going to be very smart. But at the same time, you're adapting to what's being told to you. So, of course, they were told he was going to be special. They were told that he was going to do unusual things. But they're still adapting.
Right.
So, okay, he'll be normal, but he'll be different, but they're adapting to his differences as he grows.
Right.
So it's still a shock to them when he does something unusual. Because they know, okay, this is one of those things that we're saying he's going to be. So there's still a shock with growing at the same time with him as he grew.
Sure. Sure. So, again, we can understand that. And again, 5 days looking for him. And again, Mary's response is, again, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, sorrowing for you, worrying about you. Well, again, we'll take a look at his response. And again... And but Mary's response could we say that again that's whoops. Again, couldn't you say it again that it was spoken as a true mother? Again, how many of you mothers in the audience have said to your kids, why have you treated me this way? Why have you done this to me? How many of us have told our children that we've been very worried about you, we've been very anxious about you? Again, a normal parental reaction to the fact that a child has been missing. So, after Mary says that in verse 49. What do we read for the first time in the Gospels.
Jesus speaking.
His first recorded words. And again, Jesus' response, his first recorded words were, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house?" And I believe, and again from the studying I've done, it was not just, "Why were you looking for me?" Because I think anybody would know that after 5 days that they would be looking for him. But it was, "Why were you looking for me other places than here? Why were you not looking for me here in the temple? Why not here?" Again, reflecting on all they knew about 12-year-old Jesus. Again, you know, as the expression is, Monday morning quarterbacking. You know, again, looking back and said, you know, well, sure, they should have known. And from what the angels had told them, again, if that had been in their mind, would they have gone and looked at the temple? Would they perhaps have thought, oh, you know, this is that he's going to be the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. Let's go look in the temple. This is where he would be. You know, it'd be like when I was a 12-year-old boy. If my parents couldn't find me, you know where they'd probably look?
Basketball.
Yeah. I go, oh, yeah, there's a basketball court over there. Let's go look for him there. That's what, you know, that's what he's been doing his entire life. So, and again, I don't want to get too much into this. You know, should we critique, you know, Mary and Joseph for not knowing this? No, that's not the point. But the point is, again, Jesus saying, "Did you not know?" The fact is, they did know. But again, they're humans, and again, in terms of not keeping those facts in their heads. Jesus again told them, you know, again, "I had to be in my Father's house," or one of the other translations says, "What I had to be about my business." I'm sorry?
About my Father's business.
Father's business, yes. And again, that expression about my Father's house, it literally means, again, about the things of my Father. It means about his affairs. It means about the things that belong to him. And what impresses me is that his first words that are recorded in the Scriptures indicate what? Obedience, but and obedience and a focus on the fact that he had a job to do. He had a mission to fulfill. He had business from his Father to accomplish. That again, age 12, he's like, I've got work from my Father. I got to be about my Father's business, about the affairs of my Father. And beginning at this point in time, he's thinking now, again, about what I have to accomplish that my Father sent me here to do. And if you read passages such as John chapter 4 and verse 34, John chapter 4, verse 34, can I get a volunteer to read that? Randy?
John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work."
And again, the context of that is speaking with a woman. He had been speaking with a woman at the well. She had gone, and in the meanwhile, the disciples came and asked him about, "Do you need something to eat?" And Jesus says, "Nah, you know, here's my food, and my food is I've got to accomplish the will of my Father. I've got to accomplish what he sent me here to do." Again, his Father's business. His Father's mission, his task for him to accomplish. Again, we look at John chapter 6 and verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. Sarah, could you read that for us? Again, his ministry was characterized by the fact of, I've got work to do. I've been sent here by my Father to accomplish something. And again, age 12, already he's saying, you know, to his parents, I'm here because I'm about my Father's business. Carolyn?
This happens right before he says that too. Mary says, "Your Father and I have been anxiously looking for you," and he responds with, "I'm in my Father's house." It's like, true home. This is really where I belong. That stands out to me as a reminder to them. But yet in verse 50, they didn't understand it.
Well,
and maybe that they were not supposed to understand it.
And again, it's fully understandable in terms of, again, they're taking these things in terms of Jesus saying, I got to be about my Father's business, about His affairs. And again, adding that to the things they've been told by the angels already about Him. And again, trying to piece this together and complete their picture.
Bruce? And I can also imagine that, from His birth, all the way up until verse 12, they're protecting him, making sure that nothing happens to him. So then going back is we lost the child.
So not only again in terms of again, did you not know I need to be about my Father's business, about His affairs, by saying that in the temple and referring to my Father's house and my Father's business and my Father's affairs, He's not only in His first words speaking of His mission, but in His first recorded words, He's also speaking of His relationship. He's talking about the fact that He and His Father are one. And we know that, again, the passages that talk about His relationship with His Father during His time upon earth and how He talked about how special that relationship was, going back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Again, just preceding again what Mickey preached on in terms of the Lord's invitation. Jesus said in verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal to him. And again, perhaps we'll have time next week, Lord willing, to talk about some of these other passages. And we're also going to talk about the fact that when He was in the temple here, He referred to again being He was in His Father's house, the temple, about His Father's business. But He had some other things to say about His Father's house. And in John chapter 2 and verse 16, real quick, anybody know what happens in John chapter 2 and verse 16? Was His Father's house special to Him? Could you imagine, again, Jesus, the Son of God, during His ministry, going into His Father's house and seeing what they had done to it? To see how they'd taken this place of worship, this place of study, a place of prayer, and they'd made a shopping mall out of it, as it were. Again, how angry was Jesus over what they had done to His house? And then ultimately we'll get to the point, and we'll remake this point next week, is ultimately when it was all said and done and they had rejected Jesus just before Jesus had been put to death, what did Jesus say about this house? Your house is left to you desolate. So this place of worship that was special to Jesus, whom Jesus couldn't stand, it was angry over what they had done to it. After they had rejected Him, He's like, this isn't my Father's house anymore. So it's interesting. Thank you for your participation in the study tonight.